Hi everyone, welcome to TTT, the Talking Transport Transformation Podcast, brought to you by TUMI, the Transformative Urban Mobility Initiative. My name is Hannah and I'm delighted to introduce today's guest to you, Consuelo Araneda Diaz. Consuelo is an architect from the University of Chile with a master's degree in urban design from the Technical University of Berlin. Her professional practice has focused on urban planning projects, mobility, and public space design. In recent years, she has been working in La Reconquista Peatonal, exploring everyday walking experiences with children, students, and women. She is currently focused on the concept of exploratory walks, that is, the walks we take to discover a new territory and the surprises we find along the way. In this episode, she brings to light the walking experiences of Latin American women living in Berlin, emphasizing the unique perspective of walking as a way to engage with our communities. So I'm happy to hand over to my colleague Maggie and hope you enjoyed this captivating episode.
Hello, Consuelo. Thank you for agreeing to participate in the podcast of TUMI.
Thank you for inviting me.
Could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. I'm Consuelo Araneda Diaz. I am from Chile. I studied architecture back in Chile. And now, for a couple of years now, I live in Berlin. I did a master's in urban design here at the TU Berlin. And I work in mobility, urban planning, and urban design.
Wonderful. So I would like to open our podcast with a question regarding the topic of your master thesis, because I know that you did your master's in Berlin, and also I know that it explored the walking experiences of Latin American women in Berlin. So why did you decide to work on this topic?
It started from a very personal observation and personal interest, because I've worked with walkability and walking as a method for quite a few years now. And when I first arrived here, I started to explore new neighborhoods. Almost every day, I would look at the map and try to see where to go, just try start to create my own image of Berlin. I even bought a printed map and start like putting post-its, you know, to just record my observations, my feelings towards these different areas of the city. And while doing it, and also after, I was wondering what it is for other migrants, what it feels like for other women, for other people coming from the global south, dwelling now a city from the so-called global north. So that's why it started to take form and strong, yeah, the strong idea of understanding what it means to explore a new place through walking and to have these new experiences that become eventually your daily experiences.
Sounds very interesting. Were there any surprising insights or common themes that emerged from your research?
I would say many surprises as well as common things, because first, from a very human perspective, I would say I was surprised to see how keen many women were to participate in the project. It was so easy to gather. I don't know, in a week, I had almost 30 Latin American women here in Berlin that were willing to participate. And it was quite easy, quite friendly. I never had to like break the ice or something, which was a surprise to me. And also that they wanted to gather. They wanted to know, who are these other women also in the project? What do they do? Where do they live? How long have they been living here? What is their situation here? So this was like unexpected and very interesting, because then we consider 2-3 gatherings and the meetings were amazing. They were super willing to share, open, sharing things that were quite intimate, just because they felt like this women Latin American group was a safe space for them. And of course, that was very important to me, but I never thought it would happen that easily. So that was like on the human level, on the maybe methodological level of the research. And from the insights, I would say I was surprised to see how strong the idea of safety and particularly walking alone at night was for them. How much does it determine the way they can move now in Berlin in comparison to what they did before in their hometowns? And how much does it shape the new way they can dwell the city since they feel they can move more freely, safer, and even joyful? It's a possibility now for them of self-determination to be able to decide for themselves where and when to go, which is new and which is a very important factor of having migrated.
It's so nice to hear that because of your thesis, you created a safe space for them and also a space where they could do networking, where they could meet each other and share their thoughts and their problems with each other. That's really nice. And another question from my side, was there anything unexpected in your research or in the results that you got after your research?
There were a couple of things I would mention. First, I would say that how much the landscape and the topography, generally natural aspects, elements of your home city shape your image of a city. Not just for Chilean women, but for many others. Growing up in a place that has mountains and particularly the Andes Mountains or maybe near the sea, the forest, a beach, shapes the way you understand a city, the way you understand home. And living now in a place like Berlin that is quite flat, without a beach, for instance, and with a very different climate as well, feels very differently. We struggle a bit to feel home because of this landscape differences. So it's not just a thing of the cultural level or the language or even your networks in the city, but also the image you have, the very physical image you understand like home or not home. And I think this is interesting if you think about city making, city planning, and also how people dwell a city, to understand how much landscape and how much this place where you grew up, where you formed your first memories of a city, of a territory, means to you and shape the way you behave in a new context. So I guess that was quite beautiful as well, because it was like, even though people could live here for a long time and be so-called integrated, they still miss many times the sea, the mountains, the climate, because it addresses something very rooted and very much in your background, very much in your essence of what you call home.
That's a wonderful explanation. My next question to you would be, how are you planning to use this knowledge and experience that you gained while working on this topic in your future career?
I guess there's never such a straight answer to that, because I think the experiences you made professionally, academically, but also generally in your life, just add to your background, add to your experience, and add to your interest as well. So I wouldn't say I would use them exactly in this or that way. I would just say it also contributes and opens new doors and new ways for possible research, for possible projects. It also opens my perspective towards the heterogeneity among women. There is no one women group. It's not a homogeneous block. There are so many nuances and so many stories and so many feelings within this huge so-called woman group, among migrants, among people from different latitudes, from different languages, and also I guess, understanding these nuances and not trying to flatten them opens the possibility to look at everyday experiences and also look at the city as the place where all these people gather, come together, and the place they have to share or they decide to share through a very different lenses, like paying attention to this uniqueness and trying also to observe carefully, to observe deeper, not just trying to come up with fast and general recipes, but understand what is behind those stories, what it means to migrate in this particular context, but what it means to change cities. And even throughout your life, if you stay in the same place, your situation also changes. So I think that it's a call for a more humble perspective when it comes to urban planning, like paying attention to those everyday practice and maybe not trying to address big numbers, big surveys, averages, percentages, but also look a bit deeper, take sometimes a pause if it's possible to like grasp this uniqueness of everyday life.
Yes, that's wonderfully said. Thank you. Now I would like to switch from your academic path to your career path. And I know that you have worked at La Reconquista Peatronal, which is the Pedestrian Reconquest. That is an organization that seeks to know and make visible the daily experiences of walking and living that people have in their territories. Could you please tell me what exactly are you working on within this company, or you have worked on in the past within this company?
I joined the NGO 4 years ago, which has been an amazing opportunity to, again, look and understand pedestrians' walkability and general mobility from a different perspective, from a more human perspective. And what we do is we research these everyday lives through usually travel diary that we develop, which is like a paper tool, which is like your personal journal that you take with you, where you can record your experience in the public realm. And I guess this project in general opens the possibility as well to look at mobility and transport from a more human-centered perspective, without numbers, without statistics, just focusing on the experience-based research. And the projects we have been doing the last few years have focused on women particularly, and also children. We had a very important and interesting project last year funded by the Volvo Educational Foundation that was conducted with children and teenagers in Santiago de Chile and Berlin in Germany, to research on their everyday outdoor experiences, mobility experiences. And it was super interesting to see how children, how teenagers, young adults see the context and also are very critical about it. They really care, they observe, they analyze, regardless of what adults may think, that they don't care, they're too young, they don't notice. They do notice, and they do have their own comments on it and reflections, and they're really also caring about the places they live in. So it was a project that opens the possibility for us also to work internationally and try to compare and to understand also what it means to move and grow up in a context like Santiago de Chile and in Berlin. What are the differences, but also what are the common things? There are many common things as well. So I think this was a very interesting and rich project that we had last year.
Yes, indeed. It sounds really fascinating and very interesting. Can you think of anything, again, fascinating? It can be a story, a project, an event, a person that you got to experience and explore while working there, while working at the Pedestrian Reconquest?
I guess there are many things. To me, it's very enriching and happy when we get to listen or read to the stories people tell us in such an openness, because they share things that are so intimate sometimes. And I think, we never expected for them to be that honest or to be that open to us. And also when they say that they're grateful, that they thank us for having this opportunity, for giving them the time and the possibility to reflect on their everyday life, on their everyday routine, that sometimes we stop paying attention because we do it every day, so we do it automatically. We don't pay attention to the details sometimes, but to have the possibility to take a pause and to reflect on those things and ask themselves what it means to walk through the street every day. Why do I do this? Why do I choose this path and not the other? How do I feel when I am moving through this neighborhood? And to have this moment of reflection is something that they really appreciate. And when they share us this appreciation and the thank and they say, oh, it was really an enriching moment. I got to talk with my daughter or with my partner for the first time about this. And things came out that I never expected. And thank you for that. I'm really grateful, because I think then our job is really much more than just mobility research. It means something for people. It can make a change, even if it's a small change, but it can do something for their everyday experience. And that's very relevant and also grateful for us.
That's wonderfully said. Yeah, it's really nice that you have such a big impact on other people's lives. Now let's switch a bit and come to this particular moment. So could you please tell me, what are you currently working on at this moment? Do you as an urban planner have any specific ideas that you would like to develop and work on?
That's a big question. I would say there are many things I would like to work further. Now I'm really interested in continuing with this experience with migrants. I would rather stay with Latin American or Spanish speaking migrants, because culturally is also something that I could relate better and also talk their language, which I think it's relevant when it comes to personal experiences. But I would also be very interested to understand how it changes throughout the year, since, for instance, Berlin has these very big changes in seasonality. Like, winter here is so harsh in comparison to the beautiful summer. So I think it is relevant to tackle this topic, because there are many people, particularly migrants, but also Germans, that complain all the time about winter and how the city becomes so harsh and so unfriendly suddenly, and what it means also to quality, to your quality of life in a city. Like, oh, there are 5 months in a year that I really hate this city, that my life is hell, that I don't want to go out. Why? I mean, of course, we as urban planners, urban designers, we cannot change the weather, sure, but we can change how the city approaches that change, how a city welcomes or not people in throughout the year. And I guess that is also interesting. And I would say migrants can say much about it, because they know how it's done in other latitudes, maybe, as well as, again, teenagers. I think teenagers have a great power, have a great reservoir of ideas and of knowledge that we usually don't pay attention to, because we don't think it's valuable, maybe, or it's too difficult to work with them. But I think, on the contrary, they have great insights, great reflections and strategies. They develop so much great strategies to move around, to get along, even with less resources. They make a lot out of it. And I think those strategies and those insights are worth researching.
That's indeed very interesting. And my last question for our today's podcast would be, What advice would you give to urban designers and planners to create a more inclusive, safe, and enriching walking places and experiences, especially for women and marginalized groups?
I guess the first thing is, as I said before, not trying to flatten those experiences. I love to point out again Kimberly Crenshaw, because she points out, and she did it decades ago, that there's no possibility to try and say, oh, migrants, they think that, or women, or kids, or men. There is no homogeneity in those groups, and that is relevant. And this is also the value of it. Like, try to look a bit deeper, try to understand the nuances among those people, and try also to put yourself in that position. And I think it's funny because it's 2024 and there's still mostly men researching transport and counting numbers and buses and speed and time, whereas there are so many other people moving and so many other situations and needs that are being neglected because of it. So I guess it's relevant to try and put diverse groups together, try and ask people, maybe not very big studies with great numbers and with thousands of surveys, but to try and look a bit careful in a more humble way as well. Like, just sit there on a bench and look at who is taking that bus, who is walking through that city, who is using public transportation, for instance, in a very basic but humble way, to put yourself in the position of the actual people that are going to use your project or use your street or whatever you're designing. So my call is actually to try and zoom in rather than zooming out, trying to be more humble, looking at this details, at the uniqueness, rather than trying to come up with graphics and statistics that we have already a lot of them, and maybe we need a more zooming in perspective.
Yeah, I also think that inclusion and diversity is one of the crucial points when it comes to urban planning. So thank you for raising that topic. As we wrap up this enlightening conversation that we're having right now, I want to express my gratitude to you, Consuelo. Thanks a lot for your time, for joining us, and for sharing your vision and experiences with our listeners. It's been great fun talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much to Maggie and our remarkable guest, Consuelo Araneda Diaz, and for all the listeners joining us today. Consuelo is one of the global experts featured on the Global Alliance for Feminist Transport. Check out her profile and many more at feminist-transport.org. As we wrap up, I wish you a wonderful day ahead. Let's continue promoting sustainable mobility, like Consuelo, with a spirit of curiosity and engagement.